begin Perek Tes. Today we begin Perek Tes. We're winding down. Where, Bergman?
Yeah, good. I
know. Okay, let's begin. Now we come down to the event, the big day, the event when the date that was set for the original letters for the Umos Olam to harm Klal Yisrael, but it was now in the 12th month. Who Chodesh Adar? The 12th month is Chodesh Adar. B'shloisha Asar Bo, B'shloisha Asar Yom Bo, on the 13th day, what we call Tainis Esther. Right, we call the 13th day of Esther, it's called Tainis Esther. Asher Higia Dvar HaMelech V'dosol Leheosos. The moment when it reached Higia, it reached the word of the king V'dosol and his laws Leheosos, that it should be done. It was the day when the law was meant to go into effect. Now, what was meant to go into effect? So the pasuk explains for us. Bayom, it was on this day, Asher Sibiru. That's a very strong word. Sibiru means hope. Okay, there are different words in Tanakh that are used to refer to hope. There was originally hope and a yearning, Oyvei HaYehudim L'shlot Bohem. It was the day on which, we have to read the words a little bit out of order, the Oyvei HaYehudim, the enemies of the Jewish people, Sibiru, had great hope and yearning, L'shlot Bohem, to rule, to prevail over Klal Yisrael. But what happened on this day? V'nahafochu, it was just the opposite. Asher, on this day, Yishlutu HaYehudim Hema, it was on this day when the Yehudim, they had shlita, they had control, they prevailed over their enemies. Okay, so let's see the Rashi, the Targum. Let me turn to the right page. The yearns. It yearns, the eyes of all, Elecha, to you, Hashem, Yisaberu. They yearn, they hope, they look up, they anticipate, they wait. It's a word, it's hard to really put your finger on the precise translation of the word. But it's an expression of longing, yearning to come close, to achieve, to accomplish. It was on this day when the Umos Olam, this was what the Umos Olam had been waiting for since the time of creation. From the time when Yaakov Avinu, he took the brachos from Esav, it was this day when finally they would have permission to take revenge and to eradicate the Jewish people from the face of the earth. And what happened on this day? The Yom Asher Sibiru Oyvei HaYehudim L'shloit Bohem V'Nafochu Asher Yishlutu Hema B'son Ehem Klal Yisrael were the ones that were given permission to overcome their enemies. So it's a very powerful pasuk, because, like I said, this was the day the Umos Olam been waiting for from the time of creation, or from the time of Esav. Now there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Let's see the Targum pasuk Aleph, the Targum v'tre asa yarchi yarchi, and in the 12th month who yerech Adar b'tzlas asar yomin day, on the 30th day of this month dimta, when it reached, it was on this day when it reached piska malka, the decree of the king gzeras dine, and the law, and the decree of the law le'is avodah b'yoma, to destroy the Yoma, to destroy the Jewish people, the Yoma de Chashivu Vale Devavin. So he's translating here the Sibiru, the Targum translates the Chashivu, thought. The day when they thought they would have permission, have the power to overcome the Jewish people.
The enemy hoped.
They hoped. Okay. I know, that's how we translate it. So longing, hope, yearning. But the Targum does not say that. Targum
the Hashivu here.
thought.
He's not
expressing it. You have to add that into the translation of the word. But he's just giving us a raw translation that the word Sibiru Biyoma de Chashivu Vaale Devavin, our enemies, the Yehudo, the enemies of the Jewish people, Limishlot Bahon, to control, to rule over them, Ve'yisapich. It was just the opposite. Now here he adds over here in some words of the Pasuk, Min Shemaya, this very important words, it was overturned, it was just the opposite. How did this come about? It was Min HaShemaya, from heaven, the beginning, because Zuchusa de Av Hosa, Zuchus of us. Now why Zuchus of us? Why don't we say it's because they were Misfalal? Leich Kneis Kol HaYehudim, and Nimitzim Mishushon, Vitzum Olai, V'Altoch V'Altishtu Shloish Shem Alav Yom. They were mourning Sak V'Efer Yitzal Rabim. Why did we need to come onto the Zuchus of us? Obviously it was not enough. Obviously the sin of eating from the Suda of Achashverosh and the sin of bowing down to the Tzelim was not enough to save us. We need also to come onto Zuchus of us to be spared. That's what the Targum says.
Or maybe the prayer...
Zuchor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yakov. The Zuchus Avos. But it appears their Zuchus was not sufficient. That's what the Targum seems to indicate. Zuchus da'Av Hosa, di yishlutun Yehudo in inun, that the Jews instead would rule over bisan ehon, over their enemies. Okay, so that's the simple interpretation with the Targum's embellishment, the Zuchus Avos, v'napohu. This word Sibiru is a powerful word. There was a hope, there was a yearning. There's another word which a lot has drawn the attention of many of the commentators, and that is the word Bohem. The word Bohem would appear to be redundant. It would be simple, Asher Sibiru Oyvei HaYehudim Lishlot. Hema, not the word Bohem, Hema. Bohem, v'nafoch v'asher yishlu ha'yehudim Hema b'soneihem. The word Hema appears to be superfluous. Why is it there? So there are a number of interpretations. One that I think really captures, really is the best, is that the Jews didn't have to do anything. The Goyim themselves, Hema, they themselves, Hema's not going on Klal Yisrael. Hema's going on the Umos HaOlam. When they saw that you always want to be on the winning side. That's the human nature. When the world saw that the king was in favor of Klal Yisrael, Mordechai and Esther, and the entire V'kinafal Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem, and the entire feeling in society was to recognize the greatness of the Jewish people. So people who were until now neutral, or maybe even people who were enemies, they switched sides. And they themselves said, oh, I'll tell you where the sons of Haman are hiding. I'll tell you where your enemies are. The Goyim themselves became the greatest defenders of Klal Yisrael. Until this point in time, the Goyim were trying to kill Klal Yisrael. But when Klal Yisrael is oisim ritzoyne shel makom, Hashem makes it that even our enemies become our defenders. So here when it says, Asher yishlutu ha-Yehudim, the Yehudim ruled Hema, Bisoneihem, the Goyim Hema means they themselves assisted. I'm not really translating it well. They themselves assisted.
It's an awkward expression.
But there is some truth to it. There definitely is that when we are.
They weren't doing the killing.
Okay, well, who says they weren't doing it?
Because the first decree allowed the Goyim to kill the Jews. The second decree allowed the Jews to defend themselves. It didn't say anywhere that the Goyim were allowed to defend the Jews. So that might not have been legal.
Okay. So we're listening where it says over here... I'll read you what it says. Who says this? The Admor the Sanz Klesenberg. Okay, Admor mi Sanz Klesenberg. He interprets this pasuk as follows: Ki Admor zichus yodeleinu darash oz kimin choymer es pasuk v'nafochu beloy pachos mishuloshim oifanim be'echad mehem hispiras. 30 different ways he explained this pasuk. Hema b'sonehem shehagoyim atzmam yasu mishpat b'sonehem shal Yisrael. That the goyim themselves were the ones that would do justice, would seek justice for Klal Yisrael. V'lo yitztarech shum yehudi lezahem esyodav demaga akum. Okay, that's just a drush. He's saying the word Hema goes on the goyim themselves were the ones, Hema b'sonehem. The goyim themselves would be the ones that would do the dirty work to clean out and to execute all of the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would not have to get their hands dirty by actually going out and killing their enemies. Okay, another interpretation, this is a drush from Rabbi Shur over here in our neighborhood of Aram Shur. He says, the pasuk in Kohelet says, Asher osa ho Elokim es ha'adam yashar, Hashem made man yashar, Vehema vikshu chishbonos rabim. We learned this not so long ago in Kohelet. Hashem made man yashar, but man decides to make for himself multiple calculations and to make for himself trouble. Vehema vikshu chishbonos rabim. So the question over here is, what is the word Hema? So Chazal interpret this in reference to Chava. Hashem made Adam Harishon Yashar. He had no intent to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Chava was the one that convinced Adam it's not such a bad idea to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you'll know all of the great secrets about this world. So here, the interpretation is, it was in the Zuchus of Noshim. And here, the whole miracle was done through a woman, Esther. So Esther is representing females. The pasuk over here is coming to Mimak to recognize that at this point in time, Esther was misaking the chait of the Eitz Hadas. This is a theme which reappears many times in Chazal. Many miracles happen through women.
Makes sense.
What?
Because the Nachash and Haman,
yeah,
they have an association. Hamin
ha'eitz. Hamin ha'eitz. So Esther is a party in this miracle. And the miracle came about through an Isha to recognize in the big picture world history, here Esther is being misaking the chait of her great 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 grandmother Chava. Chava was the one who brought into this world chait by convincing Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And here in the story of the Megillah, in Purim, Esther, she's moiser nefesh for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, and for herself and Klal Yisrael, in order to do tshuva for the chait of eating from the Sudas Achashverosh and bowing down to the Tzelem. So here it says, at this point in time, Asher Yishlatu HaYehudim Hema, we give her credit. Hema, in other words, is just a code word for Chava, for Noshim. And being that the miracle was done through women, so we give her credit. Let's go to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, "Nikalu Hayudim v'yarehem b'chol nevoah." One of the things I want to mention is that the pasuk here is Asher Bayom Asher Sibru Oyvei Hayudim l'shlot. This is a negative twist on the pasuk. The miracle, everything changed on the 13th day of, I'm sorry, on the 15th day of Nisan. On the 15th day of Nisan, Haman was hung. Haman was hanged, and on this day, everyone recognized the greatness of Klal Yisrael. So we would expect that the tide, everything would change immediately. The attitude of the Umos Olam would change immediately on this day. It did not. The pasuk says, even though on the 15th or 16th day of Nisan, the miracle happened, and Haman was put to death, Mordechai was elevated, Esther, it was revealed that Esther is from Klal Yisrael, and new letters were shortly sent out on the 23rd day of Sivan. So you would get the impression, when you read the Megillah, and you study Purim, you would get the impression that, hey, you would get the impression You get the impression that the miracle, everything, the attitude of the Umos Olam has completely been transformed. The Pasuk here says it's not so. Until the very, very last minute, the enemies of Klal Yisrael were hoping that maybe it would be reversed. Maybe Achashverosh would change his mind and would demote Mordechai and would allow the original letters to go into full force. And the Pasuk, that's what the Pasuk of Yoreh says, Bayom, on that day, it was now 11 months after the miracle. 11 months since Haman was put to death. 11 months since Mordechai was elevated, 11 months since the entire world learned about the miracle, it didn't matter. Still, 11 months later, by Yom, it was the day, Asher Sibiru, they were still hoping and yearning, maybe something will change, something will happen, and we'll be able once again to fulfill what it says in the first letters, Lahashmid Laharagul La'abed. It wasn't until the very last minute. Okay, that's a very interesting idea that it's presented here in the Mishpatzayis Zaf. Until that very list,
it fits in with the whole idea, because what I always thought was that even after all of this, to stand down, so to speak, he was told the people, how come they ended up having to kill as many as they did, even so these people,
were still,
who were just such Jew haters, so to speak, is they still went out to
the very last minute.
Regardless.
Exactly, the very last minute. That's the very powerful. You never underestimate the hatred a goy has for a Jew. Halacha b'yadenu Esav son Yaakov, the miracle was, it was revealed to the entire world, it doesn't matter. It's still called in the Pasuk Bayom Asher Sibiru, to the very, very last minute, maybe still we'll be able to destroy Klal Yisrael.
The correlate that to the Holocaust, because they always said that even at the end, when the Germans were losing the war, the Soviets were going to lose, they were still moving the people.
Still moving.
From the front.
They mobilized.
They rushed it up.
My uncle
get as many killed
like
as
that,
possible.
Killed by the Americans, because he was on a transport. He was on a German transport away from the front.
Yeah.
And the Americans bombed those trains, but they thought they were
military
moving away from it. So even the last minute, it was still...
The hatred was so great exactly. To the very, very end.
With the Jews.
That's what the Pasuk here is saying. The miracle was apparent. You're going to lose. It's still apparent. There's still hope. Maybe, maybe, maybe. It's a very powerful
he
idea.
In the Megillus and Storm, he says, Benachohu should have said that it's hapeh.
Yes.
So he says, Benachohu means the Jewish mindset. That even after Haman was put to death, the people were still afraid, and Mordechai was telling them now everything was going to be good.
Yeah.
He got his nevuah back, he follows that turn, but he says, Benapohu, they finally, the Jews came around to his way of thinking. They finally believed in Mordechai the way he said it would all work out for the best now.
So it's going on Klal Yisrael's attitude.
Right.
Klal Yisrael's attitude changed.
Their attitude changed.
Their attitude changed.
Mordechai, what he told them not to worry anymore.
Now they have confidence.
The armies are going to come and kill us.
But at this point,
he even told them to get more.
Yeah, but they still understood that people still love them, and as it was, a number of goyim obviously still came after them. That they had to kill so many, as little as it was, they still had to kill people. They came armed, ready to kill Jews, regardless.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Nikalu HaYehudim B'Orihem. On this day, the 13th day of Adar, the Jewish people gathered in their cities, B'chol Medinoy Samelech HaChashverosh, in all of the Medinos of the King of HaChashverosh, L'shloach Yod, they gathered to extend their hand, in other words, to take revenge, to execute and to subdue B'mevakshei Ra'asam, all those people who sought their evil. The Ish Loy Amad. Now how do we read this? Is it Lifnehem or is it Bifnehem? So there is a machloikas, there is a degree of ambiguity in the correct Nisoira. Should it be with a Lamed or should it be read with a base? But the meaning is similar. We'll discuss this in a moment. The Ish, an enemy of the Jewish people, did not stand before them. Kinafal pachtam al kol ha'amin, because their fear fell, their dread fell upon all of the nations. Let's see the Targum first. Pasuk Beis, Iskanshu Yehudoin bikir behon. The Jewish people gathered in their cities, b'chol pilchei the malk, in all of the districts of the king, Achashverosh, le'oshato yodot, to extend their hand, b'chol de tovin b'shashoin. Anyone that wanted, they were toiveya, their evil. Anyone that was Mavakish, the evil of the Jewish people, now was a target for Klal Yisrael to destroy. joy. Ugivar, and an individual, loikom be'opehon, did not stand up against them. Arum, because nefal pachtehon al kol amamaya, the pachad fell against all of the nations. Can you bring a raya from the Targum? What is the correct girsa? Maybe. It says v'ish lo yamad bifnehem, so he has a base. Ugvar lo kom be'apehon. No one stood up be'apehon. There's a base. So would it be different? If, would it be different if it was spelled with a lamed? Maybe. Okay, but in any event,
would that be a? We don't know. If, you know, we're not that expert in Aramaic. But would a lamed have been acceptable in Aramaic?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Aramaic. So okay, that's a big question.
What does the Megillah say? What's the seal there?
What?
What is written in the Megillah? The lamed or the base?
We have a lamed, and the way it's spelled in our Megillah, it says with a lamed. That's how it's spelled, but there's a question if that's really correct, and therefore the custom is when you read the Megillah you read both v'ish lo yamad lifnehem and you repeat those words v'ish lo yamad bifnehem.
The lamed is written.
What? The lamed is written. The lamed is what's spelled in the Megillah. The Megillah has a lamed, but there's a question if that is correct. So the custom is, already for hundreds of years, the custom is to read this expression twice. There are many different customs how to read it. Some have the custom to read the entire pasuk. That's a new chumrah, which Rav Moshe Feinstein says is incorrect. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's a mistake. There is only one, when a Baal Kori lands on Shabbos, the parish, and he makes a mistake. Do you make him repeat the pasuk? Of course not. A Baal Kori makes a mistake, so you just say the word again the correct way. By reading the pasuk twice, it's almost like you're saying there are two Sifrei Torah. There are two different psukim. You're giving it too much legitimacy by reading the entire pasuk twice. Me'ikar Adin, you should only say the word. The Ish Le'amad Lifnehem, Bifnehem. That really is sufficient. But since people get confused, Rav Moshe says the best thing would be to repeat the expression. To repeat the expression, the phrase, V'ish le'amad lifnehem, V'ish le'amad bifnehem. That's common, especially since the Megillah, many people are not fasting, and in the morning everyone's in a rush, people are not really in the mood of having you listen to the entire pasuk, Mila b'mila. I daven many years in Chaim Berlin, and they lay, yeshiva, they lay slow. That's, if you want to go to a yeshiva davening, you're in it for, that's what it's all about. And there, I don't know why, but the meaning there is to lay in the entire pasuk. I don't know why. And they used to have an older Baal Kore, I think since he recently retired. And he lay in very, very slow. He lay in very, very slow. And when he would get to this pasuk, and he would read V'ish le'amad lifnehem, and then he would finish the entire pasuk, and then nochamo, he would start the pasuk again from the very beginning. It's like you really felt, ay, this is really taking a long time. Even this, you have to lay in the entire pasuk, and you know you lay it very, very slow. Now they have a new Baal Kor, he lays much faster. Same exact thing. Rav Moshe says,
guys, when I remember when we were there,
no, you're not.
With no noise. 1:45 to lay the Megillah.
How long?
Rabbi Lifton, an hour and 45 minutes.
What?
He laid every word so carefully and very slowly.
An hour and 45 minutes?
When I was there, that we went that one time and everybody just walked out of there going, oh.
Where was this?
NYU.
And why you? In the main Beis Medrash?
Yeah, this is when he was before. He was in Eretz Yisrael, Aaron Lichtenstein.
Of Aaron Lichtenstein?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He leaned for the Tzibor?
45 minutes.
He leaned for the Tzibor?
For the yeshiva guys at 1 million. He leaned.
In the main Beis Medrash?
In Lyon? 45 minutes.
Whew.
That's all anybody was talking about the next day.
Everyone is bragging, oh, they can do it in 25 minutes.
With silence.
25 minutes.
How long was the clock?
30 minutes, whatever. But the truth is, you can't lay in the Megillah well unless it takes 35 minutes. If you're laying in less than 35 minutes, you're cheating. You can't articulate the words. How long did it take you to lay in the Megillah?
Well, in the morning, 18 to 20 minutes.
It's all it took me. I think I hit 17.
But that's real. Say cheating is not
on a weekday morning. These
but you're just blowing it out. You know, like I should go to a little under an hour and a half to lay the whole Sefer Torah.
Okay, that's really fast. It takes a half an hour. A real laning is not going to take you less than half an hour. I'm sorry to tell you. That's just not the way it goes. It doesn't go like that. And in shul, when you have to, for it takes time to start, everyone to quiet down, to start the brachas, and then to be in the bank for Haman, you're not getting out of there less than 45 minutes.
Right. Basically,
the money of people have to go to work and stuff like that.
It depends. It depends where. Even, you know, until you settle down, it takes to do it for real, to make sure every word is read, you listen. It's going to take a good 45 minutes. Yes, it's the same thing. Rav Moshe says you're not supposed to. Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe Chelek, in the last Chelek Ches, he says the proper thing to do is you should repeat the expression, the phrase, Timche es Zecher Amolek, Timche es Zecher Amolek. That is what Rav Moshe Feinstein says is the correct and the proper thing to do. However, there are many people today that it's a new thing. This is a new minhag. It was not like this 25 years ago. What?
My son's bar mitzvah was
Parshas Zohar.
Parshas Zohar, and the rabbi wouldn't let him do it, and I did it.
Yes.
And I repeated the whole pasuk.
All pasuk, even 25 years ago.
25 years.
Okay, interesting.
Well, maybe that's what the rabbi made a big mistake.
Maybe you started the minute.
It appears it became a frum thing. A frum thing. We wanted to kind of miss. We want to make a ceremony. There's a. We want to make out of every little thing. We want to make a big deal.
Chaim repeats nothing. He says it one way. Lifnei and bifnei. He only says
only the word.
Only the word.
The word.
He doesn't repeat anything. Zecher zali doesn't.
Okay. Who are you talking about?
It's somebody that we know.
Timche zecher zecher. Amalek. That's all you really should say. You want to say bo, you want to do a little bit more, you say the expression. The entire pasuk is a bit extreme. Yet, probably today in Flatbush, probably more than half the shuls already probably are repeating the entire pasuk, either out of ignorance, or, you know, you just want to, I don't know why, you want to make something more out of it. All right, in any event, so we have now, over here in the Siddur, in the Mishpat Sozov, he says that there's a difference between the translation if it's Lifnehem and Bifnehem. If you translate it Lifnehem, it means none of the Umos Olam went on the offensive. The Ish Loy Omad, no one stood Lifnehem. That has a connotation that there was no member of the Umos HaOlam, no enemy of Klal Yisrael, that attempted to attack, went on the offensive to cause harm to Klal Yisrael. If you translate the word Bifnehem, it means no one tried to defend themselves. Klal Yisrael, on this day, they went out to seek their enemies, and when they found, they knew that in this room, in this home, in this location, there is an arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. We knock on the door, we're coming in to get you. Open the door. If you don't open the door, we'll come in by force. They opened up the door. Take me away. Here I am. Take me away. Take me to my death. No one tried to defend themselves. That is a nafka mina. What?
Wasn't it supposed to be self-defense?
The Klal Yisrael, there were two things. Klal Yisrael were given permission to defend themselves, and they were also given permission to go on the offensive and to put an end to their enemies. So here when it says now the day actually has come, what exactly happened on this day? So we do know that they did kill. It tells us an unspecified number of people were killed throughout the entire world. And in Shushan Abir it says there were only 500 people that were killed. It's very bizarre. It was a perfect round number. Exactly 500 people. That's very little strange. And then there's a Targum. We'll see later on. The Targum says there were additional 208 people that were killed who were another two besides the 500. There were 208 additional people killed that were leaders, in charge of the army. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but it was relatively speaking a small number. But in any event, this is the interpretation of the Mishnah Zof. We have two ways of reading it. We do not know what the tradition is. We have it in the Megillah with a Lamed. We read it with a Lamed and with the base. There's a nafkamina in the connotation of the word that no enemy of Klal Yisrael tried to attack. Or, Bifnehem, no enemy of Klal Yisrael tried to defend themselves when Klal Yisrael went after them to destroy them.
That's what the Megillus the Storm says is the reason Bifnehem,
yeah,
for the simple reason that since they now believed in Mordechai,
yeah,
God, Nofal Pachad Mordechai Aleihem, you know, Pachad HaYehudim Aleihem, God gave them the fear, because now that Klal Yisrael had Emunas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believed in Mordechai now, so God made it so that nobody would, they were afraid to attack the Jews.
To attack? Place,
and that's why it's Bifnehem. Because like what you just said, Bifnehem, because nobody attempted, as opposed to Lifnehem, the way you gave your explanation, because they believed in Mordechai, God, Nafal Pachad Mordechai.
Okay, it's a different approach, because it's a different idea. Okay. Okay, so now there's another interesting dig in this pasuk. The pasuk says that where you would expect today, are there countries today that are not anti-Semitic? So they say yes. They say you go to the Middle East. You go to the Far East. People who do business in China and Japan, they come back and they tell us that they don't feel there's any anti-Semitism in the Far East. In the Middle East, oh, forget about it. What?
Largely.
Not largely.
They'll be individuals.
But you don't. They're very accommodating. They're very respectful. In the Middle East, the earth is soaked in Jewish blood. Wherever you step in the Middle East. But in Europe, of course, you're in Europe and in the Middle East, correct. But what about the Far East? People, I've heard from many people, they go to China, they go to Japan, they don't feel any anti-Semitism whatsoever. In fact, when they see a Jew, he's an opportunity there. They take out their cell phones and they take pictures. Curiosity. They take pictures. They want to be in the picture, a selfie with a Jew. I'm in a picture with a Jew. They see him wearing a yarmulke. And so the Megillah over here tells us, at least what I saw in the Mishmash Zav, is don't make that mistake. The Megillah here says that every single location in the world are enemies. That's what the pasuk says. Nikalu hayudim be'orehem bechol medinos hamelech achashverosh. From the 127 medinos, there was not even one medina, which we assume that the 127 of this include the entire world. Mehodu v'yad Kush.
The entire world did not include the Far East.
Well, it means the entire civilized world. The entire civilized world. He ruled over, Chazal, according to one interpretation, he ruled over the entire civilized world, 127. Some say it was only half of the world. That's a discussion. But let's assume now it means the entire world.
With Israel, that's the thing. So the governments are all anti-Israel.
Oh, okay. The whole...
The governments, not the individual people. The governments. 100%... Every country in the world will vote against Israel.
Okay.
That's a nation. No, the Times had an ad, not that it was from the Times, but I don't know, UJA. They put a graphic how many countries are on the side of Israel, and they had every country on the votes. They had every country in the world listed on one side of the page, and then it had Israel alone on the other side of the page.
Because they didn't count.
Voted on a few things. They all voted anti-Israel. They wanted to make a point. You're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And that's the reality.
So this is what it says in the pasuk. It says, Bechol Medinois HaMelech Achashverosh. The Jewish people had to gather to defend themselves everywhere. There was not even one location in the world where Jews felt safe. Person should never forget how deep the hatred goes. Everywhere there was a person in every country that wanted to do evil was mevakesh, the evil of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now another very important part, the thing that this pasuk tells about is Tainus Esther. According to the Mishnah Brewer, we once discussed this last year. There was a very interesting article or a shiur on this. I don't remember. I remember that we discussed this. Why, in fact, do we commemorate Tainus Esther? What is Tainus Esther all about? There's a Yom Tov of Purim, and the day before Purim we have to have a fast day. What's this all about? So the Mishnah Berurah says it comes from this one word in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud, Nikalu. The word Nikalu in Tanakh has a connotation of a Yom Tzom, a day, Pasuk Beis, Nikalu HaYehudim. It was now the 13th day of Adar, and everyone, it was the day when it was meant to be the destruction of Klal Yisrael, V'Nahapachu, but it was a day of war. It was a sakana. No one knew what would happen. No one knew who would prevail. Each side had permission to do what they wanted. The original letters granted permission to the Umos Olam to harm Klal Yisrael. And the second set of letters granted Klal Yisrael the right to defend themselves and to go on the offensive and to take out their enemies. Who would win? No one really knew. We mentioned before that the Umos Olam Asher Sibiru, they were hoping until the very last moment that they would be successful, they would prevail. Klal Yisrael fasted did on this day. There is a tradition. It does not say this anywhere. We only know this through a Mesorah, that on the day Yud Gimel Adar, in the year of the miracle of Purim, it was decreed to be a fast day. Just like when Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua, they went out to the Lilochim Ba'amolek, when they went to fight against Amalek, Chazal said they fasted. Just like we know that when they, in the Shaul, they went to fight all the different stories in Tanakh, when they were wars with Yehoiada's son, Shaul made a gzeirah, no one's allowed to eat when we go to fight. And Yehoiada's son, his own son, was not aware there was an oath that you're not allowed to eat. And he took from the Yaros Tavash. So we know throughout Tanakh that when Klal Yisrael went to war as a zechus, as a merit to succeed in Muhammad, you fast on the yom, the day of war. We have a tradition that Klal Yisrael fasted on this day. And that's why the word Nikalu is used. It connotes an expression of assembly in the Beis HaKnesses and tefillah. And therefore, to preserve this pasuk, every single year we observe Tainis Esther. It's a minute. Now, obviously, today in Eretz Yisrael they don't do that. Adrav, you always see every year the Rachman Litzlan, whenever there is a situation, a conflict in Eretz Yisrael, you see that everything today is in public on online, all the media sources, all of the Gedolei Yisrael, they paskin for the Tzahal that they should eat even on Yom Kippur. That you need to be 100% alert and on the mark when you engage your enemy. Our day and age, Niskatnu Hadar, was with Anna Madrega, where we can fast when we go to war. Okay. Now, let's go to Pasuk Gimel. V'chol Sorei HaMedinos HaVeho Achashtarpnim HaVachos, and all of the princes of the Medinos, the Achashtarpnim, the strategists. Is that the right word? People who decided strategy, the hapachlis and the governors, and the people who did melacha shalamelach, menasim es hayudim. This is another curious word. Menasim means they elevated. They were given promotions in any job, in any relationship you had with a Jew. The Jew was elevated to the top position. Misnasim es hayudim ki nafal pachad Mordechai aleihem. Everyone was afraid if a Jew would report, would snitch on a non-Jew, that non-Jew's life may be put to an end. So therefore the Jews are granted the ultimate respect. Rashi on this pasuk says, who are the Oisei Melacha? So Rashi for some reason says, Oisam Shoyu Mimunim La'asos Tzorchei HaMelech. For whatever reason, Rashi over here has to say, tell us exactly who these people are. The Sifsei Chab elaborates, the Kashalei V'chi Oisei HaMelech L'vad Heim The people that were in charge. Okay, it means not the people that actually did. The word Oisei HaMelacha has a connotation that the people actually did the labor. That's not what it means. It means people that were in charge, the supervisors. The supervisors were Menasim. Now, what does it mean Menasim? So the Targum elaborates a bit more on this unusual word in Pasuk Gimel. V'chol Rabonei Pilchaya, the Is Tar Ti Lusin, that is the Achashtarpanim, which means some form, some high position. The military leaders, the Joint Chief of Staff. The Haparchin and the Parchin, the Avdei Avidetam, the people that did the Malacha, the Malka. It appears maybe that the Targum is disagreeing with Rashi. Rashi, the Targum says the Avdei Avidetam, the people that actually did the labor. According to Rashi, we just mentioned, it doesn't mean you did the labor, it means people that were the supervisors. They themselves did not do the hard work, they just made sure it was done. Okay, Arum, so it says here this next word, the Avdei Avidetam, the Malka, Me Ma Non. Mimanon means to appoint. Okay, Minasim, if not for this Targum, we would assume it means they just had respect. They held in high esteem. What's Minasim? They lift it up. They lift it up. They walk into a room, you stand up. We hold you in high esteem. Are we going to give you money? Are we going to give you vacation? Are we going to give you any tangible benefits? No. Just have respect. I have something nice to say about a Jew, but it does not. It's not going to necessarily translate into a bonus, into a raise, into a promotion. That's all you would assume if you read the pasuk at face value. The Targum has a much more powerful word. That's not my idea. I'm telling you from what I saw in some of the Mefarshim. Mimanon means they granted promotions. There was tangible benefits if you were a Jew. If you were a Jew, special, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay to go on the bus. You don't have to go on the subway. No metro card. You have a special metro card that says you're a Jew. You go on for free. Things along these lines. Mimanon al Allah vehoin, they elevated. A nasi. Mimanon Allah vehoin yos Yehudoin, they elevated to them to positions of authority above themselves. Arum nefal pachto de Mordechai ala veihom, because the pach de Mordechai fell upon them. Pasuk dalet. Ki gadol Mordechai beveis shamelech. Mordechai was great. He was great in the Beis HaMelech, v'shamo, and his reputation. Holech b'chol ha-medinos, k'ish Mordechai, holech v'gadol. Mordechai got better and better. He went up through the ranks. He went up from one... Got higher and higher. Okay, let's first see the Targum, Pasuk Dalet. Targum here... What do you say?
He got endorsements from Sarah Palin.
Mordechai got an endorsement from Sarah Palin.
No, Donald Trump was endorsed.
I know. Yesterday, that's the big news. The big news. You would think, you know, the world. That's the most important thing that happened yesterday. The headlines of Judge and Huffington Post. This is like the big news. Why is that such big? What's the big deal? I mean, you saw the current daily news today.
What's the cover?
Go online, you'll see the cover. You don't have to.
What's the base?
What?
The Pachta Makova Abim, and then it says Pachad Mordechai Aleihem. The two different.
In the previous pasta, Kinafal Pachad Mordechai Aleihem. So there's the Pachad of the Jews. Kinafal Pachdam of the Yehudim. There was the Pachad of the Yehudim and there was the Pachad of Mordechai. Two different times. There must be something a lot deeper. I don't know. There's obviously there. Okay, now look at that. This is an amazing, amazing Targum. This Targum has also drawn the attention of the commentators. Arum apotropos virav virav. Mordechai became an apotropos. Right? We have the word of the Gemara all the time. An administrator, apotropos, an administrator, the rav, and a master, visarchon, another word which means a chief, a prince. Mordechai bebeis malka. Now here's an amazing expression: umat be'ei nefak b'chol pilcha, and his coin.
Yeah.
Achashverosh minted new currency with the image, not necessarily the image, but the coin of Mordechai. Possibly the image of Mordechai, that's possible. We know that in the halacha, you're not allowed to have a coin if it's embossed. You're not allowed to do this. A guy can do it. But we are not allowed to mint coins with the... What? Achashverosh, but if Mordechai was in such a position of authority and he would tell Achashverosh, you know, it's true that la halacha it's mutter, but it's not in the spirit of the halacha because we could not do this on our own. So I don't want you to mint my image on the coin. I think we have a right to assume he would listen, Mordechai. I think we could assume that Achashverosh would listen to Mordechai, not necessarily. Okay, but the tradition, it says in the Medrash that the coin of Mordechai had words. On one side it said Sak v'Efer Yutzal l'Rabim, and on the other side it said Vateres Zohav Gidola. That's what it says in the Medrash, that Mordechai went from one extreme to the other extreme, from a state of sak for efer to the extreme of ateres, a crown of gold, ateres zahav gedolah, the extreme. This was the coin that was minted by the Persian government for distribution to the entire world. Now that is the issue we have to realize. When you mint a coin with the image of a person or representing what they or in honor of a person, this is the greatest possible honor you can give a citizen, a person, because cash is king. Right? cash is king. Isn't that mixed expression?
Or queen.
Money, I mean, money talks. Money talks. Money is the idol of this world. When it's all said and done, it's all about money. The whole world is all about money, whether you like it or not, whether you're Jewish or not, especially if you're Jewish. It's all about money. And if you mint a coin and on your dollar bill it has the image of Mordechai, that speaks volumes. Okay? It's not for nothing. We got George Washington, and we got Abe Lincoln, and we got Jefferson, right? Andrew Jackson. It's not for nothing. These are the founding fathers. It speaks volumes. So here as well, Mordechai was granted the ultimate honor that this world has invented by putting his either name or his a symbolic representation of what Mordechai represents on minted coins. Now notice that expression, Rav Beis Abba. He was like the father. He became a father figure. Abba is always in Chazal, a title of an honor. Abba Bardala. Many different people in the Gemara that have the Abba is appended to their name, which means they are the great one. But it doesn't just mean they're great. It means an expression of like a fatherly figure. A rabbi is not necessarily someone that you love. You know, rabbi is Rav. It means you're in charge. I make the decisions. This is my shul. I call the shots. Abba has a connotation. You're my father. You're not just the one who makes the decisions. There is a love relationship. Okay? Rav beis Abba l'malka va'azel umis Rav Rav. Mordechai got greater and greater. Now, where else do we find this expression of a person getting greater and greater? By Yitzchak. Yitzchak, it says the same thing, that Yitzchak was holoch v'yelecho ish holoch v'godel. Yitzchak got greater and greater and greater. Ad ki godal mo, by Avimelech. And that's why they were jealous of Yitzchak. He got greater and greater. Now,
the
Mefarshim here, they contrast the greatness of Mordechai with the greatness of Haman. Back in Perek Gimel, Achar hadvorim ba'ele gidal hamelech Achashverosh es Haman ben Hamdasa vayinaseihu. There it does not say that Haman was holoch vigodel. Haman skipped all the steps. Haman went from a low, simple person in government. He was a clerk working at the DMV, and all of a sudden he becomes the vice president. How do you go from the DMV all the way, a clerk in the DMV, sitting in the back office, to become the vice president? How does that work? How does that go? Hashkocha pratis. But easy come, easy go. When you skip all the steps and you come to a position of greatness that was not deserved, you know, you easy come, easy go. In contrast to Mordechai Haman, that was Gidal Hamelech Achashverosh. Here we have this beautiful pasuk: Ki Ish Mordechai Hoylech VeGadol. He didn't skip the steps.
He paid
his dues, and he went from one step to the next step, higher, 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 higher. He elevated slowly through the system, and that is true greatness. True greatness is when you go through the steps. You don't skip the steps. You go through the system, and that endures. That is tangible. That is a real greatness. That's the greatness we find by Yitzchak. That's what we find by Mordechai, and that's what we do not find by the wicked people. Pasuk, hey,
yeah. Go back to the coins for a second. So, according to the vendors, you know, there are different versions of this. One is that not the image of Mordechai and Esther, but the name. Mordechai.
Name on one side, Mordechai on the other side was Esther on the back side. Okay.
For that
okay.
Reason, or another version is that there were images of sackcloth on one side and a crown on the other.
Right, so I told you, an image
yeah.
Instead of the words. Sackcloth,
ether. Of them, but of sackcloth.
Of sackcloth and of a gold crown. A gold crown, okay.
Right. And the fact that they depict this royalty, not because he was a king, but because he was considered the king of the Jews.
The king of the Jews, uh-huh. He gave him autonomy. There was some, okay. Now, who else invented the coins?
Our
Avraham minted coins, and it was a Zakein or Zakein on one side, and it was printed, it minted the word Zakein or Zakein, and on the other side was Yeled V'Yalda. That's the name of an organization here in Borough Park, Yeled V'Yalda. Flapish also, they have a version Flapish. I know, and summer I did something, I have had deals with them. Very good. Very well funded. Anything that's government is very well funded. Yelled V'Yalda on one side, and Zakein Uzakena on, or maybe he said Bachur Bachura? Did it say Bachur Bachura? I don't remember. Maybe, I think it's the Yelled V'Yalda. Maybe Bachur Bachura. Who else under the coin? Yaakov Avinu Vayov Yaakov Shalem. It says that Yaakov, he minted coins. It doesn't say what it says on the coins. But Yaakov, when he came to Canaan, Vayov Yaakov Shalem, Yaakov, when he returned to Yitzchak, his father, he also, it says in Chazal, he minted coins to the people in his community.
Archaeologists ever find any of these
coins? Nope. Not that I know. Nothing. The oldest, what are the oldest coins they found going back to the time of the Bayesheni? I don't know anything before they find anything before the coins. I don't know. You got to go to the museums. So let's go further. Next pasuk. Vayakhu Yehudim b'chol oyeveihem makas cherev v'hereg v'avdon v'yasu v'soneihem kiritzaynam. They did three things. There was cherev. Number two is hereg and avdon. What's the difference between the difference between the three? So someone said the cherev is where they mortally wounded them, but they did not actually kill them. They let them die slowly. They shot them and let them bleed out. They didn't become tummy it was done by design. If they would actually kill them, then they would be in contact with their bodies, they would become tummy. So they just wounded them to the point when they would die at a later point in time. Hereg means immediate death. I guess some people, they were afraid that they would escape, they would recover. The avdon could be one of two things. Either it means they didn't give them burial, they completely pulverized. Their bodies were vaporized, or their bodies were cut into teeny little pieces where they were not given an honorable burial, in order that it should serve l'man yishmu v'yirohun v'lo yizidun ot, that the people of the world should see that you don't start with the Jewish people. There are certain people that were so evil, they were so wicked, they did not deserve that the body that should be buried, their bodies were just, I guess, cremated or whatever it means. There should be no zecha. I mean, we think it's, you know, we don't really understand this, but it's not so hard to understand. You go back to look at even in America with Osama bin Laden. I've no doubt that by design they chose to throw his body into the ocean, because what they're going to have his body will become a shrine, or showpiece. Everyone's going to come and looking for the body. What do you need this for? Just get rid of the body, expose the body. In Eretz Yisrael, when they killed Eichmann. So what did they do in Eretz Yisrael? Also, they took his body out to the Mediterranean and they disposed of the body. You don't want to leave around the bodies of wicked people, because their followers, it should not be a source of inspiration for people who come along later. Korach should be obliterated. Nothing should be no zecher. That is something which it's hard for us to really understand, because we are rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. But in this instance, the evil of these people was so great, it was necessary that there be the avdon. There are certain people had to be completely obliterated, not even to grant them kavura. Others say the avdon, I don't know, it means they did not necessarily kill them. It means they were demoted or deposed from their positions of authority. People who were in charge, they lost their jobs. They were released. So they have a CEO of a big company, and he was known to be a major anti-Semite. So the Jewish people said, we insist that he be removed from his position without any pension, without any benefits, and his bank accounts should be frozen. The avdon means, we're not going to kill you. Your evil has not reached the degree where you deserve death. So we're not going to kill you, but you can no longer remain in your position of authority. That's what the difference between a soine and an oyev. An oyev is a person that actually has done harm. He has blood. He has blood on his hands. A soine is someone that is instrumental. It's belief. So a soine is not deserving of death. he didn't actually do anything. But being that we know that there is potential, so he has to be eliminated. At least he has to be removed from a position of authority. So we have over here different expressions, and then it says Kirit Sainam. Each enemy was judged on a different level individually. What would be the appropriate punishment? Okay, let's look at the Targum. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey. Machu Yehudoin. Machu means they would smite, to hit, to strike. Yehudoin b'chol va'alei divaveyon, all of their enemies, the people who their enemies. Mechas ketila. So here the Targum has a little more of an elaboration. Mechas is striking, ketilas saifa, by the sword. Uketilas golmin, and a death, golmin, galfin. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. You know what that means in Rachel? Golmin, galfin. Vehoivad nafshasa, and to destroy their neshamos. To destroy their neshamos. Vavadu besanehon kiruushon, and they did to their enemies according to their will. Okay, pasik vav.
What you wanted to do to us, we'll do to you.
Uvishushat. Kirit Sonam. Whatever you wanted to do, then the Nahabachu will do to you. And Shabira, they killed 500 individuals. Let's see over here with the Targum. Shushan Biranta. Kitolu Yehudoin, the Hoividu, they destroyed Chamesh Meos Gurin. Kulon, here is where. Here is very another curious Targum. Kulon Rufilin Midbeis Amalek.
The word. Golden here says it means stone.
Ah, stoning. Golmin galfin. Stoning. Some were killed by the sword, some were killed by stoning. V'hoivad nafshasa. And then that other expression, it says they destroyed their neshamas. Their neshamas were destroyed, and they did to the enemies kiruson what they wanted. Pasek vav shna bira. All of the 500 people that were killed were what? They were Rufilin. Rufilin means they were army men. They were soldiers or officers. Officers in an army. Midbeis Amalek. That's a chiddush, because who says that these were from Amalek? Maybe you don't have to be from Amalek to hate a Jew. To be an anti-Semite, you don't have to be an Amalek. But yet the Targum says that these 500 people were all descendants of Amalek. And not only they were in the army. They were all in the army. And in fact, some want to say is that the 10 sons of Haman, there was a war. Why was it exactly 500 men? So I saw this in the Mishnah. He says, I don't know where you get this from, it says that that's a very strange number. 500, a round number, Hashkocha Pratis, exactly 500, plus the 10 sons of Haman. It was a battalion. In Shushan Habira, there was a battalion. And a battalion always made up a very precise number of people. Even today, in the army today, I don't know what the number, how the rules, but every single group is an exact number, whatever the number is. And the number usually is a round number. And then on top you have people in charge. So in Shushan Habira, the battalion, the National Guard, or the army, or the military brigade that was there in charge of protecting Shushan Habira, was these 500 people. Who were the Sarei Chamishim? Who were the people in charge of these 500 people? The 10 sons of Haman. They served as the leaders. This group decided, we're going to go to war. We want to go to war. Being that we have the first letters, and the first letters do grant us permission to wipe out the Jewish people, and they are the second letters. The second letters say that they have the right to defend themselves. We'll win. We'll win. We are willing to engage in war. Everyone else was not willing. Everyone else, as a civilian, as a citizen, says, what do we need this for? They just stayed home and locked themselves up and stayed out of trouble. But this brigade, which is exactly 500, made up of 500 members and the 10 sons of Haman that were leaders, they went out to war. And every single one of them was killed. They lost, and they were killed. So that explains why it was a round number, 500, and explains why the 10 sons, because they were in charge, they were the officers in charge of this, the Sarei Chamishim of these 500. these people. No, the Mefarshim point out that not even one Jew was killed. Not even one Jew. Since it makes no mention of this, this was the greatest miracle. Not even one Jew was killed on this day. It's like the Melchemes Midian. In the Melchemes Midian, it says in the pasuk, "V'loy nifkad mimenu ish." When Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael to go to war against Midian in revenge for what they did to Klal Yisrael by causing them to be nichshal in arayos, the girls came out dressed in a way that was not sneistic, and they caused Klal Yisrael to do things which were not proper with them, and which led to a magaif of 24,000 people dying. Earlier on, after Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing Klal Yisrael, he advised Midian that, "I can't curse them, but if you want to cause them to be nichshal to die, cause them to be nichshal in Gilui Arayos. And the solution is, send out your young ladies. Send them out, let them socialize with them, let them flirt with them, let them go and cause them to have hirhurim thoughts, and let them do worse, do averos." That was successful. They were nichshal, the kiddush of Klal Yisrael was damaged, and 24,000 people died in a magefa. So at a later point in time, Moshe says, now is the time to take revenge against the nation of Midian for what they've done to us, and causing us to die, 24,000 people to die through a magefa. And they went to war, and when they went to war, the pasuk says they wiped out the entire Midian. V'loinifkad mimenuish. Not even one member of Klal Yisrael died in the battle, and this was a miracle that was ma'al miderech hateva. Okay, so and here it says there's no mention anyone actually no one died. And this is a very big issue. You talk about war b'sman hazeh, like the war b'sman hazeh is that there's no such thing today as pure simcha. Like even today in Eretz Yisrael, we celebrate the state of Israel on Hey Iyar. So how many people have died? How many korbanos have Klal Yisrael lost in the establishment of the state of Israel? It's evolved. You have to study the history of Israel, of how it evolved. That there's a Memorial Day the day before Heiyar. There's the Yom HaZikaron. They memorialized all the soldiers who died in order. So it's a bittersweet joy. You celebrate your success, but you also have tsar over the loss. Here in the Megillah, the very great simcha that no one died on this day. But we have to remember, it wasn't a pure simcha, because there was one major casualty who died in the miracle of Purim. And who is that? Daniel. According to one of the Mamori Chazal, Daniel was killed in this event leading up to the miracle of Haman, when Haman saw that Hasach was going back and forth between Esther and Mordechai, he took out his knife, he stabbed and he killed him. So could you imagine, and Daniel Ish Hamudos, the holy Daniel, he was a casualty, he was collateral damage in the miracle of Purim. So Purim has become for us, to some degree, a bittersweet holiday. It's a wonderful thing, we survived. But on the other hand, look at the price we paid. The price we paid was Daniel Ish Hamudos was killed. But at the day of Melchama, on the 13th day of Adar, there is no mention that anyone was actually killed. Okay, now we go to the 10 sons of Haman, which maybe we'll leave for the Targum. Okay, now to the 10 sons of Haman, which we'll leave Mirat Hashem for tomorrow. I have here the handouts. It's not likely we'll get to the second handout, but you never know.
Did anybody